this morning as we are starting a new book, I am just super excited about what we're getting ready to go through, and we're going to have a little bit of background, and Lord willing, today I'll cover the first six verses, okay? And I'm pretty sure once we start reading it, you'll understand why. But as you open up your Bibles, I do want to share this with you. We've had several announcements go out, but I just want to remind everybody of a couple of things. And number one, our marriage conference is coming up, Resist the Drift. You still have time to register if you'd like to be a part of it. And would love to see as many couples here as possible. And the reason being is because I believe that as God tarries, that the darkness that is around us, and if the enemy cannot get to you as an individual, what he loves to do is cause havoc within the family. And so for husbands and wives, sometimes you may feel raising kids or maybe just the difficulty of growing older and you're changing, that you're forgetting how to love each other the way that God's called us to. So this conference is meant for all of us. When you said, I do, I hope and pray all of us recognize that we are to grow in our marriage and having Jesus the center of it. And so we want to invite you to come on out. And again, if finances are an issue, please make sure you see any of us, and we would love to have you there. The charge is $60 now, but if you come in on Friday night or Saturday, it will be $70, and that's on you, okay? So the other thing that I want to just say, I'm excited about the things that we're getting ready to do in missions. For those of you who may not know, we have a desire. One of our core values here in this church is to fulfill the Great Commission, to play our part in furthering God's kingdom. And so I'm going to introduce to this body the things that God has led us through prayer, as the board of elders and we as a pastoral staff and so forth have been praying and asking the Lord how to expand in missions. I'm going to introduce to you five new areas of ministry that God has given to us on the mission field, and whether it's sending somebody out, partnering with somebody, and organizations that we are going to, again, be connected with. And so on March 30th, do not miss it. We're going to have a missions message as well as a guest worship come. His name is Dominique Bali. Do we have a photo of him? Yeah, there he is. Okay. He's kind of the picture. He's got some major dreadlocks. So don't get scared, okay? He's actually a pastor at Reality Ventura in California. I've known him for quite a while. He's going to come up. He's going to lead us in worship in the morning, and then we're going to invite you to come back out in the evening because he's going to do a special night of worship for us in the evening. And so it's going to be open to you as a body of Christ. Amen? All right, listen, why don't we go ahead and let's all one last time stand. You guys are getting your aerobics in. Come on. For those of you who are visiting, we don't do this all the time, but we do stand out of reverence for God's word. And so listen, I want to read just the first couple of verses. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God, we thank you again for blessing us with this day. And I do ask, God, that as we go through your word with every service and every opportunity that we have to open up your word, we want you to be our teacher. God, help me get out of your way right now. Help me to let you reveal to us what is in your word. And we pray and we desire that it would come to life for us, that we would walk away with understanding and having the ability for your word to change us from the inside out. So we look forward to what you have for us today, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So before we actually jump into this portion of scripture, I want to give a little bit of background for us so that way we can kind of keep it in mind as we go through the six chapters of Ephesians. Now, on my outline, this is going to take us all the way up to December, okay? You guys think I'm kidding. There's reasons for it. We're going to have some breaks here and there. But there's quite a bit of teachings in here. And I'm going to pray that God would help me really give them justice and that God would, again, be our teacher. But this is an amazing book. And if I can encourage you with anything, it would be this, that when God calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light, that he has now a desire, to welcome us as his own. And then our response is to live in a way that proves it. Okay? We're not just here to hear stories. We're not here just to have head knowledge of God. We want God to have full control over our life. And as he calls us his sons and daughters, that we would mimic the Father. How many of you have ever, maybe ladies, mimicked your mom? As a young child, I remember, I think it was Sabrina, my oldest child, who went one day into the kitchen and got a hold of some oil and started rubbing it all over her face. And she was just mimicking what she saw Marisa do with lotion, but she did it with oil. So anyways, it was kind of close. But I remember as a young child wanting to mimic my dad. I went to school one day and I had my white t-shirt like my dad. I had my Levi's like my dad. And I even had the little sleeve rolled up like if I had cigarettes underneath my sleeve. I wanted to walk like him. I wanted to act like my dad. We all mimic somebody. And what is important that we're going to learn through this letter is God has called us to be his own, to live a life of holiness. And that means to be set apart, as we're going to see a little bit later. But again, there's a reason, because he wants us to reflect who he is in this dark world. Okay, that's the whole premise of this book. We're going to learn how to do these things. And so as we go through this, keep in mind God's purpose for us is to not only receive a calling, to understand and know what this calling is of God, and then our conduct should change. Two simple words, calling and conduct. And so I want to kind of plant that seed in your heart. Remember that as we go through this book. But the Apostle Paul is the one who actually wrote this letter. And Paul visited Ephesus a couple of times during his second missionary journey in Acts chapter 18, verse 19 to 21. And of course, as he arrived for the first time, the people there actually welcomed him. They received him and desired for him to stay longer. And yet he ended up leaving because he wanted to attend the feast in Jerusalem. But Paul would return on his third missionary journey. And this time he would stay for some 2.5, almost 3+ years. And of course, the city of Ephesus was the second largest city and cultural center in the Roman Empire. We are getting ready to actually visit some of these sites in October. We have a Footsteps of Paul tour that we're going to do, and I'm really looking forward to it. But this city was, again, not only second largest compared to Rome itself, but it's located on the sea line of the Aegean Sea, which is in modern-day Turkey. Now, back in Paul's day, Ephesus was a very wealthy city. It was a major port city that controlled sea, land, trade, and travel routes. So there was a lot of business going on in this city. The population during this time was anywhere from 250,000 to up to 300,000. In this city was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, and that was the Temple of Diana or Artemis. She was the goddess of fertility. And of course, along with that, within this temple, it was said that there was over 1,000+ prostitutes that were employed. One of the other things that we want to make sure that we talk about with this temple and how crazy it was, but the size of it. It was a very massive building, 425 feet long, 220 feet wide, 60 feet tall, and it had 127 pillars. It's a pretty massive building. What else was it known for? It had a large amphitheater that seated at least 50,000 people. And it also had one of the largest libraries. And in this library, they had over 12,000 to 15,000 different scrolls that were found from all different locations. So in other words, the city of Ephesus had it all. It was booming with business, entertainment, philosophers, and education. It had many different gods that were available for people to worship. But this was also a very prime location for evangelism. You know, for those of you who may not know, prior to coming to St. George, I lived in Las Vegas for a number of years. I was blessed to be a part of the Calvary Chapel Church there in Las Vegas. And I'll tell you this, I did more ministry in the city than I did in the church. I was the outreach pastor. And so during the middle of the week, I was in the city, downtown, Skid Road, whatever, underneath the tunnels. Listen, there are people living underneath the tunnels in Las Vegas. And these guys, they're pretty crafty. There's a bunch of ministry that takes place in Las Vegas. It's a city that definitely never sleeps. And I can tell you right now, from feeding the homeless to doing outreaches, it was such an amazing time of ministry. And this is, in my opinion, more or less for us, a modern day Las Vegas. How many of you know the slogan that they have in Las Vegas? What stays in Vegas? What happens? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Which is a flat out lie. Because sin will follow you. And so this city had it all. And throughout the course of Paul's ministry, God used him in a powerful way. Paul had the ability to teach there for 2 years, according to Acts chapter 19, verses 8 through 10. The testimony of Paul's life in this short period of time is that all of Asia heard the gospel. As he raised up and taught people about Jesus, they went out and they multiplied and they shared of their faith. And to have that testimony that all of Asia heard the gospel, man, that would be awesome if we could say that about St. George. I mean, St. George doesn't have as many people, but I would love to have a testimony that everybody in St. George has heard the gospel. And so not only did God do that, but there were unusual miracles that were happening. And some TV evangelists think they can still do this today. But the reality is back then, there were handkerchiefs and aprons that touched the Apostle Paul that actually had that healed people. Now, this is back then. And today, I think it's more performance than anything. But the reality is God did do some unusual miracles. The other thing that we discover during his time here is that as Paul was serving the Lord there, other people tried to mimic him. There was a group of sons that were known as Jewish exorcists who were there trying to cast out evil spirits from people. And when they saw what the Apostle Paul could do, these seven brothers tried to approach a man that was possessed by an evil spirit. And the evil spirit just basically looked at them and go, And this is what's recorded. It says that the evil spirit said, I know who Jesus is, and I know who the Apostle Paul is, but who are you? And after that conversation, this man with the evil spirit beat up these seven brothers and the house that they were in. They left naked and shamed. And so the other crazy thing that took place is as Paul shared the gospel, that sorcerers, those that were dealing with magic, were converted. That these guys would bring all of their resources, all of their books, whatever it was that they were using to tap into this darkness, that they brought out their books and they put them in a pile and they burned them. And the value of it back then was over 50,000 pieces of silver. God was doing a work. And of course, the other thing that is mentioned in the book of Acts is that there were some silversmith that went out of business. They were unhappy at the fact that people stopped buying their little shrines of the great goddess Diana, and they went out of business because the gospel was being preached. Caused a huge riot. But one of the main things that God did in this city and then within this region was churches were planted. This is how awesome the gospel is. And so this letter was written roughly around 62 AD. And it's believed that Paul wrote it while he was in prison in Rome. You can see this in Acts chapter 28. This is one of four epistles that are known as Paul's prison epistles. And even though Paul may have been chained, here's an amazing truth. The gospel cannot be. What is the purpose of this letter? To reveal what God has done for us. We're going to see this today in chapter 1 with the phrase, every spiritual blessing. What else are we going to see? What Christ has done for us. He has made us alive. Regardless of our nationality, this is what I love about being a part of the family of God. We belong. Okay? Doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what your nationality is. There's only one body. And we all play a part in that one body. We're going to see God's intention for us as individuals, what he's done for us, but also what he's called us to do as a church. And then, of course, the last portion of this book, we're going to see how we are to live as God's sons and daughters. Again, the moment that Jesus touches your life, I pray that we would all see a transformation take place. And the moment that you receive Christ into your life, please understand and know this. It is a process. It does not change overnight. And that process will not stop happening until, listen carefully, we see Jesus face to face. Okay? So it's a process. What are a couple of main verses that we're going to look at in this chapter or in this letter? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. And then Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. And so, if you are like me and learn simply by a few words, this is what I want you to remember. Sit, walk, and stand. These three words are going to describe this whole letter. We're going to sit and take in all of the spiritual blessings. Once we discover what those spiritual blessings are, we're going to walk in them. And as we walk in them, what is God desiring for us to do in this dark world that we're in? Stand against our enemies. These are the three simple words that I pray we would always remember. And so the biggest challenge for us will be is this. Be all that God has called us to be and do everything God wants us to do. This is what this letter is all about. And if I can encourage us today with this, if you are a believer in Christ, God not only has called you and given you a specific task to do for him, but he's also given you a specific, listen carefully, a specific part to play in building for the body of Christ. We all play a part. And again, I love the imagery that the Bible has when it comes to the body. Many of us know there are many parts to our body and every single part matters. I want to just show you this really quickly. I don't know if you can see it very good or not, but for those of you who know me, you might already know what I'm about to do. But thank God I have all of my thumbs and fingers. But if I were to put them together and I turn it this way and then I turn it this way, can any of you see a difference? I got a ring on one finger. Good observation. Okay. For those of you who are very far in the back or even good distance away, the difference is on my right hand, which you're seeing in the face, there's nothing wrong with it. On this side, my ring finger is about a quarter inch shorter. How did that happen? A 50-pound jackhammer and a hollow block wall popped my whole nail off and blew off the tip of my finger. That little quarter matters. And when it popped off, I missed it. Because I had to learn for the next 6 months just to grab stuff. I still at times don't have any feeling in it. So every part matters, and that's the exact same thing with the body of Christ. And so as we get ready to travel through this letter, again, I want to remind us of the beauty. God has a calling for us. And when we receive that calling, the challenge for us is, what are we going to do with it? Is our conduct going to change? Are we going to let go of our old nature so that we can walk in the new? And so let's get ready to dig into verse 1. And it says here again, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. So Paul wants to remind those who he is writing to of his authority and his personal calling. Notice he says, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. And this word apostle means one who is sent out, one who is given authority to speak on behalf of another. And of course, Jesus himself personally commissioned Paul to go and to preach the gospel to Gentiles. And where do we find this in Scripture? Acts chapter 9, when Jesus met Paul on the road to Damascus. And when he entered the city, he revealed his calling to him. And that calling was once again to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. But Paul went on to say this, by the will of God. Now, this is, again, what's important to see of these words, the will of God, which means his purpose. He intended this for Paul. In other words, this was God's plan and not Paul's. I can tell you very clearly that the day that I got saved, I did not at all ever think that God would allow me the privilege to be a senior pastor. All I knew is that I had a desire to serve God. Whatever he asked of me, I wanted to do. And I could be totally content in saying this to you because it's the absolute truth. I still would have not mind if God would have said, you're going to be a construction worker for life. Give it up for my construction peeps. I miss working in construction at times. There was a couple of times when they were doing some of the remodel. I said, hey, give me the screw gun. Let me put some drywall up. Only one, though. I didn't do the whole thing. I just missed the little sound of the rent, 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 rent. But I know for a fact that as I served the Lord, I just wanted to do whatever he asked of me. And it is amazing because when I look back on my life, all of the things that God opened up the door for me were just because I wanted to serve. How did I get involved in becoming a children's ministry teacher? I was passing out donuts. How did I become a part of the youth ministry? I just drove the youth. The main person that was doing it got sick and he asked me, hey, can you cover for me? I'm not feeling well tonight. Absolutely, stay home, get your rest, praying for you. And I just started being involved in just taking kids to a youth group and started praying and asking the Lord, you need to send them somebody. I'm getting tired of hearing purity Bible studies every single Friday. I guess that's what many people do when they get invited to teach at youth. Oh, I'm going to teach purity. There's a lot of more topics in the Bible than purity. And I started praying and asking the Lord, send them somebody. And he's like, what about you? To this day, I am in awe, and I'm amazed that God would give me the privilege to do what I do. And so it's not just for me, it's for you. God has a plan and a purpose for you. He has a calling for you. And so Paul wanted to make sure that he laid this out. Not only have I been sent out by Jesus, but this is God's will. This is God's calling. This is where my authority is coming from. And of course, what I've heard over the course of time in ministry is people have said to me, I don't know what God's calling is for my life. And I want to just share this with you because my encouragement to you is this. First thing I would say is you've already answered the first calling. What do I mean by that? God's first calling is to come to Jesus. Okay? Please hear this out. You are first called to a person, not to a task. God has invited everyone in this world for God so what? Love the world. God has given everyone a calling, a calling out to, and that is to be involved in a personal relationship with Him. And one thing I know, as you grow in your relationship with Him, what happens? He will then reveal to you, in His perfect timing, what your calling is, your individual calling, what that task will be. But we first need to know Him. And so what amazes me is that, again, we can see this in Scripture. If you were to turn to Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 15, this is a good example of this because before Jesus actually made the 12 His apostles, I want you to see this because in this portion of Scripture, what did He do first? Jesus had many disciples, but here in this portion of Scripture, He called 12 by name. He specifically called them out in front of all of the other disciples for a specific calling. He called them to Himself first. How do we see this? Because not only did He call them by name, but He said what? Be with me. I've called you by name. Come with me. And what is His first instruction? Just be with me. Now, let me hear from you guys. How many years did these apostles get a chance to be with Jesus? Roughly around 3 years. They were with Him 24/7. When did Jesus send them out? He sent them out while He was still with them a couple of times, but they came back. But after He ascended into heaven, what did He say? Now, therefore, go into all nations. So, first, be with me. Second, He would be the one to send them out. So they needed to be first faithful in being with Him. Second, He would then send them out. And here is the truth. Whatever task God gives you, He will empower you to do it. He will enable you to do it. God is not going to tell you, hey, this is what I have planned for your life. Now figure it out. I hate when people do that to me. Do you like it? Be with me, and then I'll send you. And so if you're wondering what your calling is for your personal life, here's my encouragement. Just be with Him for now. Get to know Him. Understand who He is before you want to go and tell other people about Him. Before you start serving, learn what it means to be a servant. Listen, if you haven't been a part of Ministry 101 and Ministry 102, this is what God is calling us to do, is to serve. Grasp and understand the meaning of what it is before we actually step foot into the ministry. And so it is important that you spend that time. And if you're still wondering what your calling is, here's my encouragement. Spend time with Him. Spend time in His Word. Spend time praying, and in His perfect timing, He will let you know exactly what you need to do, what His specific calling is for you. So who is Paul writing to? to the faithful saints, notice this, who are in Ephesus, those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, the faithful saints who are in Ephesus, the word saint here in the original language is hagios, which means holy one, one who is set apart. And this one who is set apart is for God's personal use. Do you realize and know that today, saint is another name for us as believers in Christ? Now, please understand, don't go out and get t-shirts printed up, Saint Joseph or anything like that, okay? I mean, it's up to you if you want to do that. I mean, it's not wrong, but just don't do it, okay? But as we look at what I want us to see here, Paul is writing to faithful people who are living in dark places. Faithful people who are living in a city that's full of prosperity, full of entertainment, full of darkness, full of different religions and worship practices. And yet there was a faithful group of people who loved Jesus in the midst of that darkness. These saints who placed their faith in Christ became a light. And as I've shared with you many times before, let your light shine here in St. George. St. George, listen. I'm going to say this because I think I live here long enough. But all of us kid around with people who move here from California, right? Or Colorado. And it's true, I came from California, okay? And all of us who have lived here for a while, we're all like, darn it. Other people have found out this beautiful jewel that we live in, right? It's like, oh, now it's going to get... I laugh when everybody says, man, there's so much traffic here in St. George. Jeez. I'm sorry you had to drive 25 minutes now to church. But people have heard about St. George, and now there's tons of people coming from everywhere, and it's a beautiful place. Can't get mad at them. We're here. Right? But as we're here, what has God called us to do? As beautiful as this place is, sin is everywhere. And we are all called to be a light. And the way that we are a light is when we walk in obedience to God's word, and our light exposes darkness. And so Paul may not have mentioned a single name in this letter, but he is writing to some faithful believers in this city. And can I encourage us, if you call yourself a believer in Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ, be faithful and let your light shine. And of course, he goes on in verse 2 and gives a typical greeting, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul's desire, before actually entering into the heart of this letter, was to remind these saints of God's love for them, and really a reminder of God's grace, that his favor is upon them. In what way? He saved them. He saved them from that penalty of sin. And of course, when we are saved, the peace of God that we come to know, it's because of the personal relationship that we have been brought into, this right relationship with God that we get to enjoy and have peace. And if I can give you any peace today, know this, no matter what happens in our world, God is still in control. And if you belong to him, then he already has a plan. Well, you might say, Pastor, I don't see that plan. Listen, just hang tight. Read your word. God lays it all out. It does look dark, and it will get darker, but God is still on the throne. And so Paul is wanting to, again, encourage these saints, these believers, of God's grace, of his favor being upon them. And when we look back on what Jesus did, I pray that it would give us the peace knowing that we've been forgiven, that we have been set free from sin, and that we now have not only a right relationship with God, but we belong to an amazing family. Listen, turn to your neighbor and say, brah. We're family. Okay? Some of the older saints are going, he's lost it. But listen, when we think of what we have that is different from all the other religions out there, here it is, simplicity of it. You have a relationship with God. Okay? It's a relationship that God is looking for, not religion. It's relationship. And so this is what Paul wanted to encourage these believers before diving into this. And so I want to read verse 3 up to verse 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. And so we are going to, again, stop here and look at what this portion of scripture Paul is wanting us to understand. And it is interesting, just in verse 3, that the word blessed is used twice, but has two different meanings. The first one, the word blessed in the very beginning of verse 3, means to praise. It's pertaining to being worthy of praise. In other words, Paul starts off this letter by saying, praise God. How many of us have done that when we have answered prayer? Some of us, when we're texting, we put the PTL, praise the Lord, with exclamation points. But he starts off by praising God, who was the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is, again, another beautiful picture of God's grace, because we too are sons and daughters of God. He is our Father, our Heavenly Father. How do we see this in the scripture? John chapter 1, verse 12. For those who received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. Okay? What is the definition for the next word blessed here? Notice what he says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the second one, who has blessed us. Now this word blessed here definitely has a different meaning, and it speaks of one who receives divine favor, one who is given supernatural benefits that are above earthly and material blessings. You guys okay there? Okay. Frank, can I see you for a second? Sorry about that. So this second word blessed here, again, is speaking of God's favor. And this is what I pray that we can really see here. And that is the blessings that we have in this personal relationship is that you have it with the creator of heaven and earth. Okay? Let that sink in for a second. You know, it amazes me whenever we maybe see movie stars or musicians or artists out there today, and they have concerts, and how many people go to those concerts. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's totally cool, right? But there are some people who believe that that's it. You know, that like that's the greatest gift ever, that they could see somebody popular and famous that they really adore. Do you realize the blessing of having a personal relationship with the one who said, let there be light? The one who put all of the stars in its place. The one who has created everything. Here's the kicker, out of nothing. He spoke the words and they existed. So this is the one that we have now been receiving these blessings from, and they're far greater than the earthly ones. Why? Because God's blessings are spiritual. God's blessings lead us actually into eternity, while earthly and material things are temporary. So when he says that God, let's praise God for a second. And why should we praise him? Because he has now blessed us with these spiritual blessings. Every spiritual blessing that is in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So beloved, don't miss this. Paul just revealed that if a person places their faith in Jesus and the finished work of the cross, God is not holding anything back from you. If my dad's watching, sorry, Dad, I got to pick on you. My dad loves to barbecue, and he can cook a pretty mean brisket. And every time I would go, Dad, what's your recipe? What do you do? How do you do this? Oh, you know, you just put this. Oh, yeah, you know, never told me. And then at times he would say, well, you got to be with me and then I'll show you. And I'm like, okay, great. And then I would be there with him and he'd say, oh, hey, can you go and check this? And then he would, I knew he did, because when I come back, he'd be laughing. And every time it's like, I kind of caught on to it. So I asked him a few times, hey, Dad, I lost your recipe. What was it again? And every time he'd give me something different. Sorry, Dad. But God doesn't do that with you. He doesn't do that with me. He doesn't leave out anything. He's laid it out all on the table for us. Every spiritual blessing is made available to you and me. So what does that mean? As his sons and his daughters, we are not lacking anything. We have everything that we need in order to live a life set apart for him, to live in this beautiful thing that we have here in the scriptures of walking with the Lord, living a life in the Spirit. We have everything that we need to accomplish it. You and I, beloved, are rich in Christ. We're rich, whether you believe it or not. You may not have zeros in your bank account, but why are you rich? Because you have something that no earthly treasure can buy. That's why we are rich. This is the blessings that God desires to give to all who believe in Jesus. And again, I just want to stress this because the word every means all, everything. There is nothing, once again, that we will ever lack. I want to give you a real life visual of this. You guys ready for this? If you have a Bible in your hand, I just want you to look down on it. This is the precious gift of God's grace to you and me, because God has given us everything that we need to know of him in his word. And you and I have it in the palm of our hand. If you're using a smartphone or your iPad, whatever, that's okay. You got God's word. Just don't open up the other apps during the church service, okay? Don't be playing Candy Crush. I've had many people, and I've also had this desire myself, that when I hear somebody teach and somebody, you know, who is on fire for the Lord, some of us can say, man, that dude's so lit up, or, you know, I want some of that, or, man, I want to teach like that. And God's looking at me going, what's stopping you? It's not me. It's on you. You want to have a deep prayer life like you hear other people praying about God? Don't be jealous of it. You want it? Pray. Learn. The way that you become good at something is you practice it. You want to have a deep understanding of God? Dig deep into his word. Because again, there's no hidden secrets. God has laid it all out for us. This is the spiritual blessing that God has given to us. It always baffles me at times when I get these newsletters and updates from a website or faith organizations, and I have one that's Voice of the Martyrs. And when you read some of these and I look at what's happening in our world, it saddens me. You know, back in the day when you guys remember Black Friday deals, you guys remember those? When people were camping out in front of all the electronic stores for days. And what was their prized possession? What was their precious? A TV. And they would spend 2-3 days sleeping in a tent so they can get a $40 deal. Right? But then I would then watch videos of people who have snuck in Bibles to an underground church and watching the difference in people and what they valued. And the moment that that suitcase was open and people holding God's word for the very first time, and the tears and the crying, and they have everything that they've always desired, and it's God's word. And when I think of what we have in our hand, some of us, can we just be real? Some of us have more than one Bible. Some of us have 4 or 5. Some of us have 6, 7. Some of us have Bibles that are just collecting dust. Dig in and realize the blessing that we have, that God has given us everything that we need. That's how much He loves you. Not leaving anything off of the table for you, giving you everything so that you can walk with Him. And I just want to say this, God has set us up for victory. So when did God desire to give us this blessing? I want you to see this, verse 4 and 5, before the creation of this world, and it was for a purpose. Notice verse 4, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Here's what I want us to see here. God chose us in Him. Again, the beauty of this picture coming to life. When did He do this? When were you a thought in God's heart? Before the foundation of the world was ever created. That's pretty powerful. Before He created the world, before He even created you, He already had a plan. The word chose here is speaking of those who are saints, those who are believers. Remember that this letter is going to believers in Christ Jesus. And the word chose here means to select or elect. So what does it mean? God called forth. God was the one who called us out of darkness to what? Himself. I love this because, again, it's hopefully as simple as possible as this, that God called out your name. You know, there's many times when people will have difference of opinions who will say, in their understanding of theology, that God has already chosen everybody who is going to be with Him, so therefore there's no reason to go and evangelize. And then there's another group of people who believe, I don't even know if I'm saved. I could probably lose my salvation. So there's some who are insecure in their faith, others who are thinking, this is no big deal. God's called me. I don't care about anybody else. But again, God's already decided who gets to get into heaven and who doesn't. Can I tell you that? That's not where Calvary stands. This is where Calvary stands. God calls out to everybody. Again, for God so called what? The world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There's another portion of Scripture that, what is God's greatest desire? That all would come into the saving knowledge of who He is. The word all, deep word in the Greek, means everyone. So let's, He's chosen, He's selected, He's called out to you, and it's like this. Me as Papa calling out to my grandkids. I call them by name. I love them all, but not all of them come to Papa. When do they come to Papa? When Papa has candy. They get that attention really quick. When Papa says, "You hungry?" It's so funny. My office is upstairs and my grandkids will come, open the door, whether I'm in a meeting or not. "No, hi, Papa. Where are the mints?" "Love to see you too, buddy." But God has called us forth. And I want us to see this because, again, why has he called us? Why has he called out your name? It says it very clearly that we should be holy. Set apart is what this word means. Again, we talked about this a little earlier. God has called us out of this dark world, not by force, but for what reason? So that we can be a part of him. So that we can, as he calls out, our part, our responsibility is to respond. God has given us free will. He calls out. Now, whether or not people receive it or not, that's up to them. But he opens the door. We have the ability to hear and to respond. When you hear God's voice and you call, and he calls to you and you respond, this is what will happen. You'll deny yourself, you'll pick up your cross, and you'll begin to follow him. God's desire is for his people to worship him, not because of force. God's not looking for robots. But God has a desire for his people to worship him. Notice what John says in chapter 4, in spirit and in truth. That God would desire his people to live for him, live a life of devotion and commitment. Again, not by force. So today, God is calling out to us as believers to live holy. Not to play church. Not to, you know, be a 50-50 Christian. You know, some days you'll choose to walk with him. Other days you'll choose to live for your flesh. God is desiring 100% commitment. That we would give him our whole heart so that we could walk with him and walk, notice what it says, in what? Love. In the same way that God loves us, this is the love that he desires for us as his children to pour out into others. So God is not only calling forth out those who will hear his voice, but notice verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Notice this, the word predestined here means to come to a decision beforehand. God decided in advance that he would welcome those who believe in Jesus into his family. That's what this verse is saying. To those who have believed in why Jesus died on the cross. And I'll tell you this right now, some people may be offended by this, but not every person who is walking on the face of this earth is a child of God. People are alive and physically breathing, but there's no connection with God, which means they are spiritually dead. But for those who put their faith in Christ Jesus, become spiritually alive, they are born again. Those are the ones who have God predestined, who has beforehand considered them, welcomed them into his family. We are now his sons and daughters. God marked this out all beforehand that we would be a part of his family in this personal relationship. In the same way that it is seen in the Bible, in the very beginning in Genesis, when God walked with his creation, when he walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, God has a desire to restore all of that. And the beauty that I want us to again see, you are sons and daughters of God. What God desires for anybody who puts their faith in Jesus, notice the word adoption or adopt. Marisa and I have been watching this program or documentary about families who are looking for their biological parents, or, you know, parents who may have given up their kids for adoption. And it's amazing because whenever they do reunite, though they haven't seen each other for some 40, 50, 60 years, every single person has made somewhat of a testimony, and that is this: despite the time that we've been apart, the moment that we hugged each other, the moment that we saw each other, there was an instant connection. And that's what we get: an instant connection with God. I don't know what your experience was like, but for me, on that day when I walked forward to receive Christ that day, it literally felt, and I guess the best way to explain it was to come home. I'd been out in the world. I had been out running amok. And yet, when God called and I heard that voice that day, as the Holy Spirit drew me to Jesus, it felt like I was coming home. And it is on this day that Paul is wanting to encourage these group of believers of every spiritual blessing, that God has called them by name to be a part of his family, that God has called them to live a life set apart for him. God had marked all of this out beforehand. And again, it's not just because I say so. I want you to notice this scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. Notice what it says. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. This one verse is describing to us what God's desire is for you as his son and his daughter, and that is to conform your life into the image of his son, Jesus. Whether you're a guy or a girl, the image of Jesus is speaking of that life that is set apart for God's use only. How do we see this in the scriptures? When Jesus came into this world, what did he say? I'm about my Father's business. What else did Jesus say? I've come to do the will of my Father. What else did Jesus say? What is God's desire? That you believe in him who he sent. What is also God's desire? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And what else? It is finished. What is finished? The work of redemption. For us to be adopted, for us to be reconciled, for us to be brought back to God. All of this are those spiritual blessings that you and I receive. In verse six, and let's close, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he made us accepted in the beloved. Here, Paul, again, started off in verse 3 with praise, and he's ending verse 6 with praise. Praise God, because he knows all of these spiritual blessings. One word: grace. God's favor upon us. God did all of this for you and me, that he would welcome us as we are, that he would love us as we are, but love us too much for us to remain that way. And because of this, you and I are also, listen, beloved. Some of you have asked me a couple of times, why do I use the word beloved? Because I want to remind you that you're loved. Despite what this world may tell you, you are loved by God. So today, what's our takeaway? What is it that I pray that you would take to heart today? Throughout this week, let's consider what these spiritual blessings are. The blessings that God has given us. And again, for every single believer in Christ, God has given us everything that makes us complete. He's not holding back anything. Let's commit this week to thanking God for those blessings that you've received. I want you to go back and remember those times when you first literally felt like God was speaking to you. Maybe the pages came off of your Bible and like hit you in the face. Maybe it was in a song that you heard that really ministers to your heart. Maybe there's a poem or something that God really used to connect you to him. Think of those things that God has given you, the spiritual blessings. What else? That he called you to himself. It was according to his good pleasure. In other words, he didn't pick you by default. He didn't say, hey, what's your face? Come here. He called you by name. Even before he created you, he thought of you. How about this? Let's consider the fact that he wants you to be a part of his family. How many of you remember the difficulty that Moses' mom had when he was born? There was a decree from Pharaoh that every boy under a certain age would be put to death immediately. She hid him for as long as she could, and then she made this basket, put him in a basket. And can you imagine, moms, how hard that would have been to send your baby up a Nile River? Today, some of us are like, oh, you're getting in. You gotta go. God wants to welcome you into his family. There's a beauty in just letting that sink in, that God wants you. Let those thoughts this week just captivate you, draw you to this place of being in awe once again of how good God is. You have not only become a part of his family, but he takes great pleasure in calling you his son, his daughter. And it has always been, and it's still to this day, here I am, 54 years old, and I can't tell you how choked up I get whenever I hear, whether it's my dad or my mom, to say, that's my boy. You and I belong to the very one who created this world. Don't let that just go in one ear and out the other. Let that captivate your heart so much that you will spend this time this week praising God. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. Father, I want to thank you so much for your word this morning, and I pray that you would help us today to see the beauty of every spiritual blessing that you've given us. For you have called us by name. You have, Lord, a desire to bring us to yourself first. And in that process of us knowing you, that you would then, Lord, bless us again by desiring to use us to welcome us into your family and to be a light in this dark world today. And I do ask, God, that you would, every day of our life, that as we have breath, please help us today. Not to take one day for granted, not to play church, not to pretend that we're more spiritual than we need to. There's no need to pretend. There's no need for us to just say, God, I want this. God's made it available to all of us. We have everything that we will ever need to walk with Jesus today. God has blessed us with his word. God has blessed us with his spirit. God has blessed us with one another as family, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And God has blessed us by giving us an opportunity that we can fellowship together and learn together what it means to walk with Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. And for as undeserving as we are, you welcome us. So I pray that you would use this week, Lord. If our relationship has become dry, May this be the thing that will spark our hearts once again for you, that you would remind us again of your sweet love. And so I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning, would you help them walk out of this place being lifted up and encouraged, because you've set us up for victory. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I just want to take this moment. Maybe you're here this morning and you have never received Christ. Can I encourage you that you can receive what I just prayed for my brothers and sisters, that you could have a personal relationship with God, that you would know that he loves you and wants to welcome you into his family today, that regardless of what you may have done in your life, he has the power and the ability to forgive you, to welcome you into his family, and he has a purpose for you. So if this is you, right now, this is between you and the Lord. It has nothing to do with the person sitting next to you. But if you want to have this personal relationship with God, it's just a prayer away. And my encouragement to you is, don't leave this place without receiving this amazing gift of life, to be set free from the penalty of sin, to never worry about being separated from God. Jesus paid the price for us all. Jesus has opened up that door for us to be one with him and with the Father. And if this is you this morning, say, Pastor, that's me. I want to receive Jesus today. Then slip up your hand, and it would be an honor to pray for you. I want to encourage you, don't delay. If God is ministering to you and speaking to your heart, it'd be awesome for you to receive him today as your own personal Lord and Savior. Father, I want to thank you so much for this morning. And I do pray, God, for all of us, that we would trust you with our life, and that all throughout this week, we would be, Lord, blessed and captivated because of the beauty of who you are and the way that you love us. God, go before us and empower us today to live for you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.